Recording? Didn't say
yes.
Anything. You said something. He has to stop saying it. But we are recording now. So don't say anything that you don't want recorded. And we're going to talk. I'm going to talk about Zot HaBracha because we never get to do that. It never comes up on never comes out in the Shabbat, except in Eretz Yisrael. We never have a shiur on it. We get short shrift. It's a parsha, and the parsha only happens in Shabbat Torah. So it can come out on Shabbos in Israel, but even then I wouldn't have to have a parsha shiur because there's like too much stuff there. But Shmuel Sarah has just got everything all at once in that one day. We just try to couple.
Yeah.
But we'll talk about Zot HaBracha. And this Moshe's final words. And this is, he starts out basically saying that, you know, this is what happened at Mount Har Sinai. Hashem gave us the Torah and then gave it to Bnei Israel, and you Bnei Israel are get all these bracha. That's the introduction. So it's one Zot HaBracha, Hashem Barach Moshe, Ish Elokim Bnei Israel, the same. So this is the bracha that Moshe blessed Bnei Israel before he died, by Omar, and this is what he said, Hashem Sinai Ba. Hashem came out of Sinai, Zarach Me Seir Lamo, and appeared from Seir, the south of Fiamehar Paran, came out of Paran, Ba'ata Mirvot Kodesh, and came from the myriads of the holy ones, accompanied by all the angels. Mimi, no, from his right hand, Eshdat, and Eshdat, Lamo for them. And the question is, what's an Eshdat? In the Torah, it's written as one word. You read it as two. You read it as, I should put the Dakota in here, we read it as Eshdat, and ours would translate as the fiery Torah, dot meaning the law, Esh meaning fire. And that's the way we should think about it. So the question is, what do you do with that Ketiv? The one word of Eshdat. What does that mean? So I saw one suggestion from the Mi Yodea website, which is a wonderful website, but it's all by amateurs like me. It's a wiki, basically. You can ask questions and people answer and give you sources. And here's what he said over here. He's a guy named WAF, W-A-F. I have no idea who this is, but it's a nice idea. Basically, it's it. And Eshdat is only one word. I've heard it being related to the word Eshdot, which means waterfall. There's one other place in the Torah when Moshe is describing what they conquered on the east side of the Jordan. Tachet Ashdot HaPiska. I don't know if that's the modern Hebrew word for waterfall.
The problem is there it's possessive.
The Eshdah. Okay. I'm not hardly aware. I'm trying to make some connection here. You know,
okay.
Here it is where, yeah. But Yeshua Dar so the inherited land of Sihon, Beth Ogmez of Bashan, and the borders are from Aroera, Shosfat Nachal Arnon, from the sea of Aroera, then Arnon, to the south, at Har Sion, here Hermon, to the Hermon in the north, Kohar Ava, the whole valley, Eber Dan, the east side of Jordan, Mizracha, the east side, Adyam Arava, all the way down to the Dead Sea, Tachat Ashdot Hapiska, to the border, under the Ashdot Hapiska, and right, there clearly is possessive. But it could be an Ashdat could be a singular, and they'll be the possessor of Tiska, waterfalls of Tiska. It's the only thing we've got is a hint. What do I do with this word Ashdat? Now that I ask myself, we're going to see if modern Hebrew has an answer, a name for that. Is that a word? Let's see what Google Translate tells me from. Hebrew.
So a lot of languages in the world.
Yeah, you see, it's time to find it.
So you're going to look up Ashdat or Ashda?
Ashdat.
Okay.
Hey, what? Okay. Ashda, or Eshed, is a waterfall. And Ashda is a slope. And Ashda, my peel mimes, Ashda is a waterfall. Okay, so in modern Hebrew still uses a waterfall.
Okay.
Okay, so let's go. There we go. So I love that metaphor. The idea that nobody else mentioned it. You know, I come to Yodea, and I wish someone in the classical portion would say that. It's the idea that, you know, reading that sentence as from his right hand, Mimi, no, Eshdat, the waterfall came to them, Lamo Israel, right? Because Ein Mayim Ela Torah, right? The water is Torah. As we know that, we have from Mara back in Parshat Devashala, Vayasa Moshe Yisrael, Vayasa Moshe Yisrael Miyam Tuf, Vayitum in Barshur, Vayilchu Shloshim Yim Bamidbar, Lo Tzumayim. They go for 3 days, they don't have water, they all complain. And the Chilta says on this, Dershay Rishimot Amru, people who like make drashot about hints, they like to say, Lo Tzumayim, it's dim divrei Torah shenim tulamayim. They left Egypt and they went 3 days without mayim, means without Torah. Minayim shenim tulamayim. How do we know that Torah is called water? Shemar, I called some lechula mayim. It's shtu blu mecha or mecha mayim. We know the puzzle from Yeshaya. There clearly it's a metaphor for divrei Hashem. Water as divrei Hashem. Since they went 3 days traveling and they didn't have any word from God, that's why they were rebelling. That's what they were complaining about. Which is why I read the Torah Monday, Thursday.
Oh, right.
You shouldn't go more than 3 days without hearing the words of Torah.
Right.
Water is a metaphor for Torah. So they started, he has this water, we've got to give you this waterfall. And Moshe says this, that last week's parashah he calls this specifically, and Hazino, Moshe says, Yarov kamatar lichi, may my teaching drip down like rain, tizaka tal imati, flow like dew, kisirim ala desha, like rain on grass, kirivim ala isev, like drops of rain on blades of grass. That's what Moshe says, may my teaching be like. So I think that's the metaphor here, this is a little metaphor. Of course, it's like the Torah is water. It's life-giving water. But Mamet Hasina was like a waterfall. It's overwhelming.
It's like
I drink from a fire hose.
Nice.
Okay? That Hashem appears giving us the mayim of Torah, but in a waterfall. We couldn't handle it. That's exactly what Mamet Hasina was all about.
You've got that word, revivim. Isn't that there? Revive Kodesh.
Where are you? Where are you looking?
The last line here, k'revivim.
K'revivim.
So,
like
we have Zot HaBracha, k'revivei Kodesh. No?
Okay, so there in Zot HaBracha, it's
Rivavot Kodesh.
There, Rivavot Kodesh. It really translates the tens of thousands.
Right, okay.
Revivim here is the drops of rain.
Yeah.
Only that's connected, these lots of little drops here.
Yep.
So at Mamet Hasina, we had to call Amro, we had to call Lot, the people saw the thunder, the lights, the kol shofar, all the special effects, the shofar, Hashar Hashem, the whole mountain and smoke, and the people were afraid by Anu, and they shook by Anu Merchok, and they stood back. They ran away, they stood back. Moshe, you need to talk and we'll listen. Don't let God talk to us, we're going to die. That's the waterfall model for Mamet Hasina. It's too much. That's what Mamet Hasina. That's the Eshtad. Like I said, I think it's brilliant. And I will all power to this guy on this Mio Dea website. Wonderful. And I would love to have some. Somebody with a rabbi in it before his name saved it. Now it's on our website, so it's now official. Okay? So instead of the Eshtat Lamo, the center of the waterfall, we hear it to review the Amalek instead of the like raindrops on blades of grass. That's good. One meaning of Eshtat.
Nice.
Everyone, however, just reads it as two words. That's the creed. Ish and dot, two words. And ish means fire, dot means rule, law, religion, Torah, however you want to say it. The problem with translating that way is that it's probably not right. Because the word doesn't exist anywhere in Tanakh until we get a Nigat Esther. It's meaning law. You know, dot hamela. And it's a Persian word. There is a Persian word dot, there's no other Semitic word dot. So it seems to be a long word. Now, it's not proof that Moshe doesn't mean it that way. The Torah doesn't mean it that way. That's interesting. So Richard Steiner, who was a professor of Bible at YU, so we can quote him, argues that, no, we're misinterpreting the word dot. to verb. And this is Steiner's article about that, but the lost meaning of Deuteronomy 32:2 is that here, that it's contraction of dat, from da'at, like yid'eh and nesher, like the means to fly. Eshta means the flying fire. Archaic feminine perfect, like asat. We see that elsewhere. But dealing with Esh, the feminine second. The fire flies. I think this verb dot is a perfect parallel to the verbs before preceding stitches. And allows the preposition me no. From his right can mean from. Right, that the meaning no ish dat lamo means from his right fire food to them to Bnei Israel. So it's not a description of the Torah, ish dat a description of the Mount of Sinai with all the fire, the left again, and all of that. The revelation was at that level. And that actually fits with the way Uncles translates it as well. The ish dat refers to the nature of Mount of Sinai. So we assume that it's again, we're gonna most people are gonna say that that means Torah, law.
Means what?
We'll say, okay, it means law.
Law.
Even though we're arguing that it's rare, it doesn't appear in Tanakh, that doesn't mean it's not right. This is poetry, they're using a poetic word, that's fine. So we assume it actually does mean Torah, not fly. And that's an interesting idea, hold in the back of your head. So the Torah is an ish, and describe the Torah as an ish dot, a fiery Torah. So Uncles connects it, says that's the nature of Mamre HaSinai. And this way Uncles translate it, Amar Hashem is Sinai Itzgali, that Hashem appeared at Sinai, the Hiri came into the ear, and his glory shone in the ear, his Chazed Lana Itzgali, and his might was revealed to us, the two of the Paran, from the mountain of Paran, the May River of Ketishin, with the tens of thousands of holy ones, the Tavimineh, with the the part Mimi no, the writing from Hashem's right hand, and what that metaphor means, we're not going to touch. We go Eshat that came out of the fire, a right they have Lana Hashem gave us the Torah. The Mamad HaSinai is the fire, and Hashem gave us the Torah. But
I like it as one word.
As a word call.
Well, I'm not sure what, but it seems it's one.
From his right hand, then Esh dot came. But everyone else doesn't say the Esh of the fire refers to Mamre HaSinai, but refers to the Torah itself. As we all know the expression, this way Rashi puts it, Esh dot shetak tuva me'az lefanav the Esh shchora al gab Esh levana. We've heard that.
Right.
It's a black fire written on white fire. Everyone loves that expression. No one has any idea what it means. Okay, that's the way the Tanhuma puts it. The Gemara and Shkalim puts it a little bit differently. First, Levin are published, Shem Shimon Bar Lakish. That's good body. A Torah Shnat Lo Kodesh Baruch Hu, the Moshe, the Torah that Hashem gave to Moshe, Nitna Lo Ish Levana Charuta, the Ish Shchora. It was white fire inscribed with black fire. Sounds impressive. What does it mean? That's where we're going to go.
The white space of the Torah, right? Of the cloth.
You get the image there, but what do we try to get out of that? Why the cloth? The Ramban goes, it's mystical, right? That the Torah in its original form was simply the name of God. But the black and white says it was incomprehensible. Okay, and the fire was untouchable, inaccessible. You couldn't even think about what it meant. The Ramban puts it. Talmud divides Torah blessings. The reason the Torah was written this way, the Nisha Kidma Libriyata Olam existed before the world was created. This is the primordial Torah that Hashem looks at the Torah, creates the world. This is what we call it, the mind of God. Moshe Balan of the Kabbalah, the way we have a Kabbalah, the Kabbalistic idea. Said the Ketuba of the Esh Shchora al Gabe Esh Levana, black fire and white fire. Meaning, we wish we had a Kabbalah on that. We have another Kabbalah about this, what it means. We call it Torah Kula Shema Tavshel Kodesh Baruch Hu. The Torah itself is the name of God, one long name of God. Meaning the essence of God. Shatevot Mitzvachot Like you can divide the letters into the names of God. How about like dividing letters up into the near, you know, about the field. So Torah Tuva Be'eshua Gabeshua Bama. But this idea that the color is the black fire written on white fire, the end Shazesh is done at the end. What we meant above. Shaitak Tiva Vitufabli Hetzek Tevot. That was one long string of text without any space between the words. You could read it as names of God with no particular meaning as a narrative or as laws, just as an abstract mystical idea.
What does Derech HaShemot mean?
I mean, reading it as names of God, divided into groups of three or whatever, groups of 72, without trying to make Hebrew words out of it. Very Kabbalistic. Very, very strange idea. Or you could divide them up as words, tikkur al-derech v'yateinu b'inyan Torah v'mitzvot. Reading it as mitzvot, reading it as words you have. Nitlu Moshe Rabbeinu al-derech v'yateinu mitzvot. And Moshe was told, here's how you want to divide these words up. In shalom al-pek v'yateinu b'shemot, and he has the al-pek, the Kabbalistic side of it as well. Text we have is divided up in school, but that's not what the eight. The Ish Kolal Ish Levana implies it's just completely incomprehensible to us. And the Mashat is, this is the way it's been quoted in an article I saw.
Ah, here it is.
That's the way you have it, as the white, yeah, the cloth is the white fire. The black fire is the text, the white fire is the subtext, as it were. You're reading between the letters. This is Mashat and Reuven. Mever Shachel Kolavan Remez. Mash explains that the white fire is what's behind the letters. Still the hidden part. Again, get a Kabbalistic side of it, so that's behind the letters. So,
that's nice. Because even if you write in black, there's something under it. You know.
Right. So there's something there. Even that has meaning, right? The background has meaning as well. The figure in brown. So the actual, now I looked for that. See, this is a guy, Rabbi Kiva Kahana. This was on yu.org or yeshiva.org, I believe him. But I'm looking at the actual Marsha itself, and he doesn't say that. But he actually have heard that idea. The actual words in Marsha in the Bible, it sounds like the Ramban's idea. So the Marsha is just discussing the fact that the Gemara says you have to be careful when you're writing a Sefer Torah. Don't make mistakes. Be careful in what you're doing. If you're doing the work of heaven, if you leave out a letter, have an extra letter, you're going to destroy the world. That's the Gemara. Okay, so you're sober, take it seriously. And this is where your Marsha, Kedusha, explains it. Because you do. And obviously, that when you leave out a letter in the Torah, the problem is that the Torah is the name of God, it's all holy. So, Derech HaMistar, so Torah, that is the Derech HaMistar, the problem is the mystical side of Torah. I said,
What's that comment?
If you leave out a letter, you're missing something. But generally, that's a good question in Marsha. So you already showed me about this. I would translate it as Vikasha Li.
As what?
Vikasha Li.
Oh.
That the Marsha is commenting that this is still hard to me. I'm still not convinced by
this. Kashelli.
There are those who say it really means the Kali, meaning this is obvious. I don't think that fits generally the way the Marsha uses that. I think Duk, Dayek Matinsa Kal, does have that meaning. Well, this is obvious to think about it.
Right.
This Kuplam, to my mind, simply means the Kashelli, meaning I'm going to tell you this, but I'm not really happy with it. I'm not sure if that's the right way to understand it.
Okay. Well, he's being very humble, saying, this is beyond me.
Okay. But he'll use it in other contexts where it seems more.
Oh.
You know, okay. The question is better than the answer kind of idea. It's not what the Kuflamen means.
Yeah, okay.
But these are similar answers, right? The idea that we keep saying that the Esh Torah al Esh Levanah means that the Torah, there's something about the Torah that's incomprehensible. This is the mind of God, and we divide it up into words. Divide it up in order to get some meaning out of it. So as we talk about, I talk about the hermeneutic cycle all the time. Hermeneutics is how we get meaning out of something. And we have this text. But the cycle side means what we get out of it depends on what we put into it. So I come to the text knowing what the language means, knowing how to read the words, knowing some concept of literature, and then I read it and I learn more, and that lets me interpret even anymore. So it builds on itself. And we talk about the level of that, the idea of reading the Torah, the mashma'ut, meaning the literal meaning of the text. That's the way I read Torah if all I know is I know Hebrew. And that's it. I get the mesh mode. Then Peshat is what I do when I know what the Hebrew words mean. And I also understand literature. I understand what metaphors are. I understand symbolism. I get the references in there. So not necessarily a Jewish interpretation of Torah, but reading it with all the tools of a good reader. And Drush is how I understand the text when I come to it with the Torah Sheval Peh. Now I can understand at the level of Drush. So is when I bring my Kabbalistic knowledge into it. And that's what I bring into it, come out of it. But if I don't know anything at all, I don't know what Hebrew is, then it's like I just look at this Sefer Torah, it's just black marks on a white background. That's, I think, what Esh Torah al Esh Levanah is. It's just black, white marks on a white background. I don't know what to do with it. An example of that, I pulled not a paper Torah because I know Hebrew, but this is a Sanskrit newspaper. Okay, that's Torah Levana. I can't do anything with that. But even that's not true, right? Because I can read this pretty well. You can see the picture here? I can tell immediately that some kind of newspaper newsletter, right? I can see the titles. I know what, you know, that this guy, picture of the guy over here is either the subject of this column or the author of it. There's headlines here, right? There's paragraphs. This is some kind of list. I know the words are going from left to right because the column, you know, I even without knowing what that means, but if I knew nothing at all, it would just be a bunch of black spots on white. And if I show it to my dog, he like tilts his head and kind of look at it, I mean, waits for me to give him a treat. But it wouldn't mean anything. That's the idea of Esh Choral, Esh Levanah. I don't have anything, not even the level of mashmaut. I don't know anything to do with it.
Mm-hmm.
And Hashem's gift is to give us the Torah there. That the idea that there's this third Torah, this primordial Torah for which you create the world, that's unknown and unknowable. And this is the way Mordechai Breuer from the Gush, have you heard that name?
Yeah.
This was an interesting article. This is kind of his apologia.
His brother, he had a brother, yeah. Meir Breuer. Mordechai Breuer had a brother, Meir, who was my high school teacher.
Is that right?
Yep.
Where?
Highly was the name of the school.
You went to Highly?
Yeah.
Of course. We used to go to Kosher Bite, which was across the street from Highly, the kosher restaurant.
No.
See the Highly building. My father, so I'm at the Highly for a couple of years for high school.
The four buildings, the four white buildings? Where? Highly was in Far Rockaway.
It was in Far Rockaway. I was young enough not to have a sense of direction then. We were coming from Long Beach.
Oh.
But I know my father went there for high school, at least for a couple of years. Then,
really?
No.
What?
Late 40s?
Well, I graduated high school in 1963.
Okay, so I was well after my father was there.
Anyway, Meir Breuer was my
Mordechai Breuer
love teacher.
Looking at the contradictions in Torah as being different aspects, you know, that there is that getting the one truth is impossible. So we have to look at it from different points of view. Mm-hmm. And a lot of people complained about that because it got awful close to the documentary part that this was actually different people writing different things. And this article in the Gadir, written in 99, who said that over the past 40 years I've written this. And, you know, I have to say that people who complained about me were probably right. I've seen my students go the wrong direction.
Ooh.
And I'm very unhappy about this, that they are misinterpreting, that they are pushing it too hard, that Torah Mishamayim doesn't mean that Nevi'im did it over time, that it all is absolutely divine. It's a fascinating article about that.
Wow.
Not that he thinks he's wrong. He's saying that he clearly was being misinterpreted, and he should have said it better.
Wow.
But this is his bottom line on this. Shatarahi it's Yirat transcendentalit muchlatat. That the Torah is a transcendental creation.
Transcendental.
Transcendental. Transcendental. Transcendental. Transcendental. Right? Meaning beyond the universe, inaccessible. Tivahi lamalami kotzvistat enoshit, and writing it is beyond any possible human understanding. Well, dam katavit is right by Eli. No human wrote these things. Not an angel.
Wow.
The same God who created the world. That is the fundamental his understanding of Torah is that just like God created the universe, God created Torah. That's at the same level. Just like we can't understand creation. Something that at the universe as a whole is beyond space and time. So too, Torah cannot be understood by what I like to say are our primitive monkey brains. There's also beyond space and time. This idea, this is where Chachamim expressed it when they said Hashem katav Torah be'esh chora al esh gabe esh levana. That's our esh da, right? The black fire and the white fire. Just from our point of view, it's fire. It's untouchable, and it's also just black on white. I have no idea what to do with it. Kelef dor lefnei briyat ha'olam. That's it. We're 1,000 generations before the creation of the world. Kasher dayin lo nivra makom zman. Before when there was no space or time. That God was alone and unique in Omivado. Therefore, that's why we say, Torah not telling us things that happen in the world. Beyond that. Basically, you have to read the Torah at some level is just thoughts of God. That express God's holy characteristics. That's reading it. That's the Shemot Hashem way of reading the Torah. I'll teach you some of that from this model, this way of understanding. Look to the Torah created the world. And so the Torah that we got is not that we have, that we are reading here is only a piece of that. But this is pretty depressing that, right? So both, mm-hmm. So we have the metaphor of the waterfall, Hashem gave us the Torah and it was just too much.
That seems so lame, Danny, the waterfall. What? It seems so lame.
Now the fiery Torah.
After this stuff.
We like this. We like the
waterfall. Also, you know what?
You can look at the Torah either as the waterfall or the flamethrower. Okay, water and fire, both metaphors apply. It gives life that it also destroys, right? At the same time, it's just infinite. It's too much for us to deal with it. That Torah is incomprehensible to us. Right?
I think we should distinguish between Torah is incomprehensible and the writing of the Torah is incomprehensible. The creation of it, the process by which it was created. And that's what I think, like Briyata Olam, how did he do it? How did the Torah come to be created? Not so much that the Torah is incomprehensible. You know what I mean?
I think just like the universe itself is incomprehensible. The universe in its totality is incomprehensible, right? We can make models of it, pieces of it.
Yeah, I guess it is. You're right.
You can't get out of that as a scientist, what you do is you make models. Little simplified pieces that try to make certain predictions in certain parts of it, and that allows us to live our lives.
Yeah, I
can't
guess
get the whole thing. Okay, right. The Torah still is there. But the fact is that we do learn Torah.
Right.
That there is hope, right? And that Esh Chora al Esh Levana expresses part of that hope as well. So we're going to get a little chassidish here. And this is Kedushas Levi. Levi Yitzchak B'Desha. But the Esh Levana.
Wait, hold on. I just want to, a thought. That word, Ashtat.
Yeah.
The idea that it's together, two words without the space, evokes the idea that the whole Torah was that way.
Ah, very nice.
It's encapsulation.
This hint of this primordial one long text as well. I like that. We can go over that as well. I like that. He says there, so the Kedushas Levi, that's third generation.
Wait, it got small.
It's small?
Yeah, it shifted. It got little, the text.
I didn't change anything. I can make it bigger. Bigger?
There you go. Yep. Good.
That says that, well, we're reading the Esh Chora al Esh Levana wrong. Esh Levana, as that background, the Nistar, that's the incomprehensible part. But Hashem overlays it with the Esh Chora. This is a text that we have. So that's a text that we as human beings are capable of understanding.
Oh, so
this
nice.
This is a Kedushat Levi. The Esh Chora gave Esh Levana. That's where we're going with Esh Da. Esh Shalom, you could say. The Hermas, the Ayyidei Ma'an Torah Yesh Koach B'Yisrael. That giving the Torah was actually giving power to B'nai Yisrael. Hashem has this Torah and gives it to human beings. Vine gaven lavan, so the color white. Kolel kol gavanim, so makaba kol gavanim. That it is made up of all the various colors of light altogether. Which the Kedushat Levi knew. I don't know the Moshe Rabbeinu knew that, the physics side of it. But looking at white as being the sum of all light together. Zemru mazu Hashem yitbarach. So that's the hint to the God's understanding, God's emet, which includes everything. But shachor enotin, and black is different. So eno kolel kol gavanim, rak gavan shachor. That black is just itself. It has no other light in it. Sheish bozer remoza ben adam. That's what people are like.
Yeah.
We get the black. Right. We want one single thing. We can't. We don't get subtlety. We don't get. You know, we want an emet that is straight. That's all we can handle. That's the Torah, that when Hashem gave us the Torah, it means that Hashem basically put the black fire on top of, meaning on top, literally on top of, overlaying the Esh Levana. So that's our text, that's what we get. Sheir Yisrael, you were mala to your fault. That the Israel basically are above, as it were. We can override with the works of God. That goes back to Loba Shamayim, that we were given the Torah, that the Esh Chora is ours. With the Esh Levana behind it, and we have to try to think about that, and that's what separates the words out. We still have the Esh Levana is still there, but we get the Esh Chora. Hashem gives us the Torah, takes this transcendental Torah, and it gives us a version that we can learn and connect to. So that's what Simchat Torah is. That's what we're celebrating on Simchat Torah, that gift, that connection to the mind of God. That we get the Eshdat, both in the fire and the waterfall. We need to get our little part of that, take our cup into the waterfall and drink our fill of that. So wish everyone a Chag Sameach.
Very nice. Wow. Ashtat.
Yeah, great job.
Ashtat. Okay. Shabbat Shalom. Thank you.
Shabbat Shalom. Regarding
to everyone. Do this in person on Shabbat?
I'm sorry?
Doing this in person on Shabbat morning?
Yes.
Great.
So this helps with the preview and kind of get
you
all
the things. Give my little thing about that word.
I will have to add yours about the being part of that Shema Shemot Hashem.
And I'm thinking.